We hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Steve Kelly and Wave Church. We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching, and we believe that it will enrich and empower your life.
Praise God. Come on, let's pray. Father, as we come around your word today, as I finish out this teaching on a different spirit, help us, God, to hear what you want us to hear. Lord, individually, would you speak to us? And yet, Lord, also, as a body of believers, could you speak to us in and through your word today in Jesus' name? And everybody said, amen. Turn to the person next to you and say, you got a different spirit. Come on, you can speak it prophetically. Don't just say it prophetically. Speak it into their lives. Praise God. I'm just that guy. I'm allergic to the color blue. Did you know that? If I literally wear blue, any blue clothing, any blue that comes in contact with my skin, I break out in a rash. I wonder this morning, how many of you have ever heard of someone being allergic to the color blue? Anybody ever heard of that? Yeah, not because of me, but from somewhere else. And my dermatologist told me it's very common. And I thought, I'm 55 years old. I've been all over the world. I've met some of the most countless amounts of people, and I've never heard of such a thing. You got to think about it. Blue socks, blue shirts, blue jeans, blue underpants. That one's real bad. It is awful, awful, awful. Praise the Lord. And now Mr. Sensitivity, Mr. Delicate, praise the Lord, has now got his sunscreen allergy. Praise God. I am just that guy. That's what Sharon says. I'm the only guy on the motorcycle trip. We're riding the motorcycle. A massive turkey. True story, Dave. Literally, you were behind me, weren't you? Literally, well, almost took me off my motorcycle. Everybody else, you know, no problem. Me, a turkey is flying in front of me in the motorcycle. I guess it's a turkey for a turkey. What do you think? Are you ready for the word? I want to just finish out this message on different spirit, and I actually want to give this a quick and a brief recap and then close it out with some thoughts I've got about having a different spirit. The foundational scripture that we've been using here on this whole thought about a different spirit is when the disciples wanted to call down fire on the people in Jesus' day, for they were not responding or showing the awe, the respect, and the reverence that they believed they should have been showing to Jesus. And so they said, Lord, would you have us to call down fire on them like Elijah did? And Jesus turned to them and rebuked them. He rebuked the disciples. You see, the disciples were rebuking the people. But Jesus goes, the rebuke is not to the people. The rebuke is to you. He goes, you know not what manner of spirit you are of. And I just pray today that we know what manner of spirit we are of. Amen, church? And so here's a couple of thoughts I want to give to you real quick as we go through this message last week. Different spirit of people are quick to lead. They're not waiting around to see what everybody else is doing. They feel God, they sense God, and they go. God told Joshua, you're going to go into the promised land. The Bible says the next day he got up early in the morning. Isn't it interesting? God doesn't waste words. It says it didn't say he got up in the morning. It says he got up early. In other words, they're quick to respond. They're not waiting for the crowd. It's like Jonathan who said to his armor bearer in the Old Testament, come on, let's go over to these Philistines. Let's fight them. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm sick and tired of here living under the oppression of the enemy. I'm sick and tired of the world telling me how we're to live and how we're to behave. Let's take on our enemy. And the armor bearer says, do all that's in your heart, for I am with you heart and soul. I love it because Jonathan said, perhaps the Lord will act on our behalf. He says, I don't know if God will come through or not. The Lord can save by many or by few. Sometimes you think that for you to have an impact, you just need numbers on your side. But God is not wanting us to get our confidence on numbers on our side. God wants us to have a confidence as long as he's with us. It doesn't matter how many. 1,000 will fall at this side and 10,000 will fall at that side. When you are that kind of different spirit person, you are quick to lead. Amen. I remember 20 years ago when I first actually talked to people about giving to the vision of the mission of Wave Church. Why are you laughing? What's wrong? Oh, okay. Praise the Lord. Last service, I preached a whole message with my laundry tag off the side of my shirt. Did you notice that, Josh Kicker? Thanks for telling me about it. Praise the Lord. My wife noticed it, and Joe Riddle from Seaboard actually is the guy that sent a text going, tell Pastor Steve he's got a tag hanging off his shirt. Praise the Lord. Normally, they have little signs up for me. Fix your hair. Praise the Lord. What was I talking about? What was I just saying? See what happened, Josh? You got me off my thought. Caleb, Jonathan, the armor bearer. I got it back. Praise the Lord. Stop distracting me now. Caleb, the Bible says, had a different spirit, and the armor bearer said, come on, let's do this. We think we need numbers on our side. We think we need, if I'm married to that person, if I just got that job, if I just got this opportunity, if I could just get closer to that person. But the armor bearer said, come on, Jonathan, I am with you heart and soul. God, give us a church full of people who've got a different spirit, who says to the people they're in alignment with, do everything that's in your heart. God, in the church, give us wives that know what it is to get behind their husband and say, do all that's in your heart for this family, for I am with you heart and soul. Oh, that wasn't a very good response. Come on. God, give us people in the workplace that will say to the people they work for, God, may they be the kind of people with a different spirit that says to that boss, do all that's in your heart. I'm with you. Amen. No matter what the opposition looks like, doesn't matter how bad it looks, we are quick to lead in the name of Jesus. And that's what I was talking about. I got distracted and I got the thought back. I remember, 19 years ago, I've actually sharing the vision of paying off the land on Seaboard Road because I didn't know, I did know, but I didn't say everything at the time. I just wanted to make sure we had that debt out of the way. So whatever we move forwards on, we did it out of a position of financial strength. That we didn't, whatever we do next wasn't still needing to tidy that up. I'll never forget one guy said to me, well, Pastor, you got to tell me something. You got to tell me, what are you going to do on the Great Neck property? Are you going to move the church from Great Neck down the Seaboard? Because he was just thinking like one location. Little did he know, I'm thinking 20. And I'm just thinking, we've just got to get rid of that debt first. He goes, Pastor, your vision isn't big enough for me. If you want me to give money, you got to give me a bigger vision. I said, well, that's the vision for right now. God, give us a people who are quick to respond to the vision of God's house. And I said to the guy, listen, man, that's okay. I'm not going to make up a vision just so you'll give money. If you're moved, come on, let's go. Let's do this. And by the grace of God, we did pay off that loan. In 1 year, we raised enough money to be debt-free. And by the grace of God, we were able to acquire this property. But I tell you, you'll never build a life of success and momentum with people who are slow, waiting to see what everybody else does, waiting for a better situation, waiting for a different circumstance. God, let us be people who are quick to respond in the name of Jesus. Amen. A different spirit person is someone who's not ruled by what's in front of them. I want you to look at this verse, Ecclesiastes, the wisest man in all the world. He writes this, if the clouds are full of water, they will pour rain on the earth. You ever been outside and seen a big storm cloud? You know the rain's coming. It's inevitable. The cloud full of water is the evidence it's going to rain. You with me here? You look it. You don't need to turn on, the news and get a meteorologist. You just look up. It's going to rain. That's what it says. Wherever a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where it falls, there it is. In other words, it's inevitable. So let's talk about things that are guaranteed. How many want some things that are guaranteed in your life? Well, watch what the next verse says. Watch this. It says here, whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. You see, a different spirit of person isn't looking at the wind, isn't looking at the economy, isn't looking to what the world is saying as to what is happening. A different spirit of person is the kind of person, come on, that isn't ruled by what's in front of them, but they're going to make decisions based on what God told them. They're going to make decisions based on the faith that's in their heart in Jesus' name. God, give us a church full of people with a different spirit. We're not waiting to see what everybody else does. We're following God. Number three, a different spirit worships. Elbows above the ears. Not a little courtesy worship, but get your hands up, surrender before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Doesn't matter how successful you are, doesn't matter how wealthy you are, doesn't matter how much notoriety or fame or fortune you've got. I believe when it comes to King Jesus, it doesn't matter who you are, how important you are. When it comes to being in the house of God, you're not standing there trying to hold your pose and position and your demeanor. You're not someone who's easily swayed or influenced, but you're the kind of person that you're heart is abandoned. Your love for Jesus is so rich and so real. You're so aware that God has forgiven you of your sins that you can't help but to worship God. And maybe in terms of your work and your vocation and what you do, you live life with a sense of discipline and seriousness. But there's always something about a believer in the name of Jesus who knows how to worship. One of my favorite memories is Evander Holyfield, right before he fought Mike Tyson. And Evander Holyfield, they had the camera in there. The whole world watched this fight. And Evander Holyfield, listen to it, the world champion boxer, as Mike Tyson's getting ready in the room, punching and getting some mojo and trying to get himself all worked up. And the opposite of Evander Holyfield, he's a believer. And his whole dressing room was full of people who were singing, "Shout to the Lord, all the earth let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to our King." My friend, I want to tell you, you've got to learn how to be a worshiper in the name of Jesus. A different spirit has hope. I love this thought that actually the Bible says hope we have is an anchor to our soul. I wonder what your hope is anchored in. The Bible, I wonder what your soul is anchored in. Because if your soul is anchored in hope, it doesn't matter what's happening today. You've got hope for tomorrow. And that anchor will hold you and will stay fast to the ocean floor as long as your soul, you've got your soul anchored in hope. That anchor will hold you for the hell or high water. That anchor will keep you full of hope where there is no hope. And the Bible says, Abraham, against all hope, in hope believed. You see, my friends, a different spirit has hope. The world is full of doom and gloom and negativity, but we've got hope in the name of Jesus. Does anybody think that's the kind of different spirit you want to have? Listen to this. A different spirit isn't ruled by fear. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Amen. It isn't ruled by fear. I'm afraid to leave my job. I'm afraid to change, you know, where I work. I'm afraid my wife is going to leave me. I'm afraid my children are going to backslide. I'm afraid that this is too good to be true. The bubble's going to burst. No, my friends, with a different spirit, we've got, amen, the spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. We are not ruled by fear, the fear of man, the fear of success, the fear of failure. No, no, no. When you got a different spirit, can anybody say amen to this? You're not ruled by fear. What if it doesn't work? What if it does? Perhaps the Lord can save by many or by few. How many would you follow or perhaps? Well, I'm a bearer did, and the Bible talked about him. I wonder today if I said, maybe God's in this, would you follow me? Because I love that kind of spirit that's a different spirit. Do you hear me? The different spirit that says, you know what? Let's just go for God. Amen. Praise. Thank you for the underwhelming response. A different spirit, not only is it not ruled by fear, but a different spirit prays. Do you know, I know with all my heart that what led me to be here in Virginia Beach is a result of a prayer life. And I knew, even though I was born in Queens, New York, and moved to Australia when I was 8 years of age and stayed there till I was 35. Just because God called you to do something, burden does not necessitate timing. God put the dream in me, and it was in my prayer times that I felt God called me to return to the United States. And I'll never forget being 8 years of age, moving to Australia, thinking to myself, one day I'll come back. Age of 14, my parents became naturalized Australian citizens, and they asked me, do you want to become an Australian citizen? And I said, does that mean I'd lose my American citizenship? And they said, yes, at the time, that's what it would have meant. I said, no, because something as a little boy, God put something in my heart that kept my life on course to allow the doors to be open at the right time to go where God's called me to go in Jesus' name. All that happens in prayer. I just want to say this to you. Don't wait till the crisis comes to start praying. Because sadly, that's all some people do. They actually wait till something bad happens, and the only prayer time they ever have is maybe over a meal. And if that's your prayer life, my friends, you are living in the kiddie's pool of the water of God that God wants you to go from ankle deep to knee deep to waist deep to swimming in the presence of God and knowing what it is to be a person of prayer and of breakthrough in the name of Jesus. Come on, a different spirit prays. A different spirit is led by the Spirit. I'm not led by circumstances. Let me just say this. I remember when I first came, people said, oh, you just came to America because that's where all the money is. I laugh. If they only knew. I literally took a massive cut in salary to come here. Not because, I tell you why. I'm not ruled by what actually is going to come to me. I'm led by the Spirit. And if I'm just following after God, if it's God's will, it's God's bill. If it's God's vision, He will give the provision. Can anybody say amen to that? See, and we're led by the Spirit. If I was led by my flesh, if I was just led by what the money was, I would never have come. But I know through prayer, and I know through the prompting and the leading of the Holy Spirit, that I would one day be back living in the United States by the East Coast near water. Amen. Because water and the ocean is the will of God. And the ocean makes me relax. The ocean makes me calm. I love it. I light up when I'm on the boat. I light up when I'm on the water. Now, there's only one problem. Sharon gets lit up by being around the mountains. And she gets refreshed by being in the mountains. But thank God, God in His graciousness in Virginia Beach, where it's so flat, your dog, if he ran away, you could still see him 3 days later. Thank God, the one thing we do, if Sharon starts getting stressed, I go, honey, let's go to Mount Trashmore. She instantly gets better in Jesus' name. Amen. See, a different spirit is led by the Spirit, not by the natural causes. I see this. I see youth pastors, and they're wanting to, people coming out of college, and they want to actually go into full-time ministry of being a youth pastor. And I've seen them do this. Well, how much will you pay me? And how much will you pay me? And they make a decision based on what they're going to do with their life on finances. My friends, you can never live your life with a different spirit based on what that looks like. You got to find out where God's called you to be. You got to find out what God's called you to do. And you don't worry about the finances. You follow the prompting of the leading of the Spirit of God. And God will supply all of your needs and all your riches according to His glory in Jesus' name. That's how Abraham, the Bible says, turned to Lot. And he said, listen, we can't keep living like this. It's too much. It's too much stress. He says, you figure out which way you want to go. And Lot chose the land that was full of green pastures and full of established things. He went after Sodom and Gomorrah. It looked pleasing to the eye. So all Abraham was left was the backside of a desert. But Abraham knew God could find him wherever he is. And God could bless him in whatever the situation, in whatever the environment. I've heard people say, well, if I live in Hampton Roads, I can never have a successful business. If I lived in Hampton Roads, it'll be so much more limited because it's a smaller area. My friends, God can promote Abraham in the backside of a desert. Don't you be led by the circumstances. You be led by the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Come on, give a Lord a hand if you receive it. A different spirit is discerning. In other words, you've got insight. You've got Holy Ghost intuition. Are you hearing me? It's discerning. Listen to this. A different spirit has peace. The Bible says the peace of God will rule your heart. A different spirit never lacks zeal. I love that. A different spirit never lacks zeal. You know, some people say, well, you know, the love for my wife, the love for my husband is gone. So I need to be happy. So I'm going to find someone who's going to make me happy. The Bible says, keep your spiritual fervor, never lacking in zeal. My friends, what you need to do is get a zeal back for your marriage. What you need to do is get a zeal back for the person you fell in love with in the first place. And some people say, well, I come to church and I'm just not getting out of church what I used to get out of it. And they think somehow it's the preacher's fault. They think somehow it's the worship fault. No, my friends, the Bible says you keep your spiritual fervor. It says you do it. You keep your fire alive and never be lacking in zeal. You're not just coming into the house of God waiting to see if the preacher can pump you up. No, you've got something going on the inside of you. You got a different spirit and you bring your praise. You bring your worship. You bring your zeal. In the name of Jesus. Amen. If you think that your life and success and your blessings is dependent upon what other people will do for you, you'll never know the blessing of God. You've got to understand that you are responsible for your life in the name of Jesus. Can anybody say amen? So a different spirit, listen to this, is full on. As a full on person. They're not just casual. They are wholeheartedly. As it says, Caleb had a different spirit. He wholeheartedly follow the Lord. Some people say, oh, I've lost my heart for this. Well, I want to say, get your heart back. Amen. It's not somebody else's responsibility to get your heart back. You get your, I've lost my heart for that. I feel like I no longer have a heart for that. Can I just tell you something? If it's in line with the Word of God, you've got to make sure that you have a passion inside of you that is driving you more than just circumstances in Jesus' name. Amen. I've lost my heart for my job. I've lost my heart for my marriage. I just don't have it with them anymore to do what I used to do. My friends, the Bible says, come on, listen to me. Keep your spiritual fervor. Keep your love for God alive. If your love for God is right, it doesn't matter what somebody says to you. It doesn't matter what somebody does to you. If you love God and you got your spiritual fervor, you can rise above the pack. You can forgive somebody 70 times, 7 times in a day if you keep your spiritual fervor. Praise the Lord. Thank you for the underwhelming response. A different spirit is anointed. Amen. A different spirit, listen to this, can celebrate diversity. And let me close it out with a couple more thoughts. A different spirit doesn't blend into the world's customs. Esther chapter 3, verse 8. I wonder how many of us could have people who are not Christians say this about us. I wonder how many of us, as we interact with people who are yet to become believers, that these people who we will call yet to be Christians could say this about us. Look what the Bible says. Esther chapter 3, verse 8. Then Haman said to King Xerxes, there is a certain people dispersed within the United States in all the provinces of your kingdom who keep themselves separate. Of course, it says in your kingdom. I'm just adding to the United States. I'm trying to get you to understand the context in which we need to ask ourselves this question. Their customs are different. Did you hear that? From all those other people. They do not obey the king's laws. Is it not in the king's best interest to actually tolerate them? And I just wonder today, I wonder how many people think we're different. That we don't live according to the customs of the world. So often the church can become so blended in its idea of blending in the culture that we lose our different spirit. See, Moses said, God, if you don't go with me, what else will distinguish us between us and all the other peoples of the earth? God, we need your presence. And unless you're in on this, unless you're coming, I'm not going to go any further. And I want you to think about it here, because a person with a different spirit does separate themselves from the world. There are some places a Christian does not go. There's some things a Christian does not say. Come on, somebody say amen. You see, we're called to have a different spirit. I mean, marijuana can be legalized, and it's being legalized all over the United States. It's a funny thing, though, as I travel around this different country in the different states, I'll show you pretty well a city where they've marijuana or a state where they've legalized marijuana. And I'm telling you, the breakdown in society, the breakdown in what's happening in those cities, it is obvious that that is detrimental to the prosperity of that city. Homelessness has gone through the roof in San Francisco, in Seattle, places where marijuana is legalized. And just because it's legalized doesn't mean it's right. Come on, somebody. You can legalize same-sex marriage, and I understand that does happen. And all I'm going to say to you, just because it's legal doesn't mean it's right. Amen? People say, well, you're old-fashioned. Well, the law of gravity has been around for a long time. And just because a law has been around for a long time doesn't mean it's out of date. Amen? Young people, keep yourself pure to the day you're married. Remain a virgin from this moment on. You're not going to try before you buy. You're going to live according to the Word of God. You're going to keep yourself pure. And you do that, you will be different. You will stand out in the name of Jesus. And the world will not celebrate it. They will not appreciate it. But I guarantee you, somebody once said to me, a Christian principal of a Christian school, when I taught this idea of abstinence and saving sex till you're married, said to me, do you realize this is the 20th century? You're totally out of touch with young people. We need to teach them how to have safe sex. Christian school. And I said, my friend, it's the Word of God I've been teaching. This is a Christian school. You asked me to come in here and speak to Christians. Amen? He goes, well, that's old-fashioned. We were standing on the third floor on a balcony. I said, my friend, the law of gravity has been around for a long time. But if I pick you up and throw you off this balcony, you're still going down to the bottom. Just because a law has been around for a long time does not mean it's out of date. Come on, somebody say amen. It got very quiet when I talked about abortion in the 9 o'clock service. And I will not back off this subject. I believe abortion is wrong. I understand certain situations that are extremely rare, and I would even myself say, okay, but I do not believe abortion is right. I will never condemn anybody or come down on anybody who has had an abortion. All I'll say to you is just get it right before the Lord and let the Lord know that you've repented of it and move your life forward with a clear conscience because it's under the blood of Jesus. But just because it's legal doesn't mean it's right. We ought to be different. When everybody else is negative at the water fountain talking about the boss, you've got a different spirit. When everybody comes to work late, you come early, you've got a different spirit in Jesus' name. Come on, are you hearing me? We're called to have a different spirit. Look at this. Hebrews 13, 11 verse 13. These all died in faith. All these great men and women who lived by faith. Not having received the promises, but listen to this, having seen them afar off, were assured of them. Different spirit. They're not disillusioned. They're not having a faith crash. They're not saying, God, let me down. Not having seen the promise. In other words, while they lived on the earth, that which God promised them, they never saw. But they saw the promise afar off. They knew God could perform it even after they've gone to be with Him in glory. They're not having a faith crash. They're not getting depressed. Can I tell you, God has called us to have a different spirit. Amen. Well, I'll give you the last one here. A different spirit has the spirit of Jesus. I want you to watch this verse. Come with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 14. Is if for some reason, if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus, everybody say a Jesus. That was terrible. A Jesus. If someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus, everybody say a Jesus. Other or different rather from the Jesus we preach to you, or if you receive a different spirit from the spirit you have received, or a different gospel from one that you have accepted, you put up with it easily enough. Here's Paul saying, hey, there are some people who are preaching a different Jesus than the Jesus we preached. You say, what is that talking about? Well, let me give you an example. You know, maybe when it comes to legalism, and we're saying to people, you know, about a certain sin, and we come down on that person, and we condemn them for the sin. I got to tell you, there's forgiveness in Jesus. Come on, somebody. And the goal ought to be restoration, not just a discipline. The goal is to get them, to see them back where they once were in Jesus' name. Not to point the finger of judgment like the Pharisees were ready to do for the woman who was caught in the act of adultery. And Jesus never condoned her adultery. He never approved of her adultery. He told her, go sin no more. But the Spirit of Jesus said, woman, where are your accusers? And she says, no one, Lord. And she was asking the question, not even you, because if anybody could, it would be you. And I pray we know what manner of spirit we are of as a Christian in Jesus' name. I remember one time years and years ago, I was speaking at a youth camp, just preaching a different Jesus. And this youth pastor was so moved. And I love this youth pastor. But he was in this moment so sincere, but so sincerely wrong. And he kept begging all the young people at this youth camp. There was a young guy whose mother was dying. And he said to them, come on, let's pray for this young man's mother, as you should. Okay, as you should. And they said, and every day it just got more and more intense. And the more and more we heard that the mother was doing worse day by day, the more fervent this young man got, this youth pastor. And finally he said, last night the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And he said, the Holy Spirit told me, if we just prayed more, if we just fasted more, that this young man's mother would be healed. And I was the one that was speaking at the youth camp. And I said to the youth pastor, my friends, what you've just done, you've just attached a works to your theology. And the Bible says, listen to this, we're saved by faith, not by our works. And I don't believe that that's what Jesus would say in Jesus' name. That's a different spirit. I understood where he was coming from, but he put all these young people under this idea of unless we pray more, unless we fast more, God can't and won't heal this person. I don't believe that's true. I don't believe for a minute that somebody who went to be in glory actually lacked faith. A matter of fact, the Bible says, you know, unless we're able to embrace the grave, our faith is not real. And I believe in healing, and I believe with all my heart. But it was just more prayer and fasting. You're making it a works theology. Are you hearing me? It's by the grace of God we are saved through faith in the name of Jesus. Lord, let us know what manner of spirit we are of. If anyone comes preaching a different Jesus than the Jesus we preach, if I start preaching a different Jesus than the spirit that the Bible says who Jesus is and found in the New Testament, my friends, be aware of anybody who polarizes a truth. Be aware of anybody who just talks about faith and that's all they talk about. Because there better be some room in your theology for suffering. There better be some room in your understanding that life will give you some challenging moments. But greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Amen. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. It's not that there won't be weapons formed against you. It's just that they won't prosper. Amen. Anyone who polarizes that all I preach is end times. All I preach is grace. All I preach is faith. No, no, no. We got to live in the whole counsel of the Word of God in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody give the Lord a hand. If you receive that. Somebody who just always preaches prosperity and money. Beware of anybody who polarizes a truth. It's a different spirit from the spirit of Jesus. Are you hearing me? Let me just close with this scripture here. Two scriptures and I'm done. 1 Peter 2 verse 9. But you are a chosen people. I love that. Different. A royal priesthood. Different. A holy nation. Different. God's special possession. Different. That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into the most marvelous light. In other words, you once were walking in darkness, but you're different. You're a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. Amen. We're peculiar, the Bible says. There ought to be something that's different about us than everything that's going on. I don't mean better. I certainly don't mean for a Christian to look down on somebody. God forbid we'd ever do that. Amen. But we're different. We're called out of darkness into light. God, give us a different spirit. Who can say amen to that? Can you say it with me? Say, God, give me a different spirit. My closing scripture, Psalm 84, verse 5. Blessed are those, listen to this, whose strength is in you. Where do you get your strength from? Some people get their strength in their health. They spend all the time talking about the gym and what they do in the gym. And there's nothing wrong with that, by the way. That's a good thing to do. But that's not where your strength comes from. Some people get their strength in their diet. Well, I don't. I just have organic food. That's all I have. I'm a young man. He was just incredibly, incredibly overweight. And he lost a lot of weight. And I said to him, I said, hey, man, what did you do to lose all that weight? And he goes, well, the Lord told me that actually being overweight is a sin and I'm going to hell. And I said, my friend, that's a different spirit than the spirit of Jesus I know. Come on, somebody. Are you hearing me? Because, okay, if it's just weight, you might actually be really in good shape, but you're just as vulnerable to sin as anybody else. Come on, somebody. I said, you can't think that, man. That is, you can't teach that. And he wanted to teach it and start a Bible study group. And all it would do was bring in legalism and works attached to your salvation. Are you hearing me? But if we're not discerning as Christians, we could actually get a different spirit than the spirit Jesus wants us to have. The Bible says, watch this as I close. It says, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. Where do you get your strength from? Your job? Your income? Your friends? Where do you get your strength from? Blessed are those whose strength, look at it one more time. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. You know what that's saying? Don't get too attached to this world. You're a holy nation. You're a peculiar people. We're different in the name of Jesus. We don't blend into the world's customs in the name of Jesus. Our hearts are set on pilgrimage. We're not so attached to this world that we can't see through the grave and realize that what we're doing here in Wave Church is actually for eternity in Jesus' name. Can anybody say amen? So when an opportunity comes along to do something great for God, and you're thinking how that will affect you and how that will maybe in your own mind, it will be less for you. But and you're attached to things that are temporary, you'll never see the eternal significance of what God wants us to have. And the Bible says, don't store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust can destroy, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven in Jesus' name. My friends, we got to be people who love being in this world, but we are not of the world. We got to know what it is to be a people who separate ourselves from the world and stand out to be different, because our hearts are set on pilgrimage. We're just passing through, and we're going to try and take as many people as we can as we pass through. Come on, somebody. We've just been celebrating the 50th anniversary of man walking on the moon. And I was listening to a bit of a documentary on it. It was fascinating. And they talked about how that today we actually are able to have phones and GPSs and have everything connected. And they actually said at the time when Apollo 11 went and up to the moon, that actually they were trying to figure out how far away the moon was to know how long it would take to get there, because it's a 3-day journey apparently to the moon. And they actually discovered it by a laser light through reflections that actually got up on the earth from the moon, and were able through a reflection measure when they turned the laser on how long did it take for it to get there and to come back to them. And then they put that to the speed of light and they figured out how far away the moon is. And now we're talking about going to Mars. Do you know how long it would take to get to Mars? Apollo 11 took 3 days, and based on today's science and technology and speed, it would take 6 to 9 months in a spaceship. How far away is Mars? That's amazing, isn't it? But you know what? People said that was a waste of money. That NASA we shouldn't have given that money to NASA. It could have been better served to help people in today's community and culture. And yet today, the very fact that we've got the technology we have today is from the fact that they invested financially. And we are benefiting 50 years later from the investment back then. And I got to tell you, I just want to encourage you, my friends, if that's what we can think about going to the moon, and that's what we can think about going to Mars and see the benefit of that, how much more is it better to us to understand that what we're doing here is for the generations to come. We're not just making decisions for ourselves today, but as we determine to become different, we're building up a better day for the future in Jesus' name. The best sermons have not been preached yet. The best churches haven't been built yet. The best songs haven't been written yet. The best businesses are yet to come forth. And I want to say to you, you've got to set your heart on pilgrimage. Don't just get so attached to this world that you don't understand eternal values. Amen. Like, oh, I just want this person to like me, so I don't want to put too much of a heavy on them about Jesus. Well, you know, you can have a friend that likes you, but I don't want that friend going to hell. Come on, somebody. My friend, when he became a Christian, said to me, Steve, you need Jesus. I said, I don't need Jesus. I did everything I could to try and get him out of my life. I mean, he was a party killer. I'd be in a bar talking to some beautiful girl, thinking, well, let's see if we can get a conversation going here. And my friend would walk in and he'd go, hi, right in the middle of my conversation. He goes, can I tell you about Jesus? And the girl got out of there real quick. And I looked at my friend and said, Jared, you do that one more time. He goes, Steve, you need Jesus. You need Jesus. I said, Jared, I don't need Jesus. One time I had a glass of beer and I poured it over his head and I smashed the glass. I said, if you keep talking to me about Jesus, I'll cut you. And he looked at me, he goes, do what you want. You need Jesus. He's different. He wasn't one of those Christians in name only. He actually believed I needed Jesus. He said, are you really happy? I said, yeah, look at me. I've got all my friends. We go out, we get drunk, we do what we want. Look at me, man. I'm living the life. He goes, you don't know Jesus. You need a Savior. You've got a sin problem. God, help us to have a different spirit. God, help us not just to blend into this world. If it were not for the fact that that guy, I was one time in a bar playing pool against a bunch of bikers, which was not a good idea in the first place. And he walked in and I thought, oh no, Jared, don't in front of these bikers. These guys were called the Gypsy Jokers. They were bad dudes. I said, please, Jared, don't talk about Jesus. I knew he was going to. So I had to get him out of the bar. And he started, hey, can I tell you about Jesus? And I literally broke a pool cue over his back and dragged him outside because I knew that they would beat the fool out of him. And he looked at me and I said, Jared, what is wrong with you? Why don't you just leave me alone? If you want to be a Christian, go and be one. And he had tears in his eyes. He goes, you just don't know Jesus yet. You need a Savior. You're not happy. Do you know the truth is, every night I go to bed, and this is what I used to think to myself. There's got to be more to life than just this. There's got to be more to life than just getting up, going to work, going out partying with all your friends, and then getting out of bed next morning, sorrowful from how much drinking you'd done the night before, promising I'd never do it again. But the next night, there I was again, doing the same things. And I realized that Jared had a different spirit. And there was something about Jared's life, as much as I hated to admit it, was so much better than what I had. One night I laid in bed and I got myself in a whole lot of trouble with the police. And I cried out to God, said, God, if you're real, I'm giving you this one chance. But if Jared wasn't that kind of person that was different, I don't think I actually would have ever encountered Christ. He was willing to stand up for what he believed in. He really understood. Listen to this. He's not trying to just win friends in the world. His heart is set on pilgrimage. And we're only on planet Earth for a certain amount of time. And what we do with that amount of time will determine whether heaven is more populated than hell. Finally, I cried out to God. I said, God, if you're real, help me. Within 20 minutes of that prayer, and I was in some deep trouble, within 20 minutes of that prayer, God came through. What took forever, God did in a moment. My friends, who I was the group leader, all said to me, Steve, it's a fad. Steve, it won't last. You're that guy that's so extreme, you do everything to an extreme. Now you've got Jesus. Well, let me tell you something. It's been 38 years since I gave my life to Jesus. And not one day have I regretted giving my life to Jesus. Not one day has my life not moved forwards in the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody, let's have a different spirit. Can you say amen? Do people know you're different? I want to pray for people this morning. I feel the Holy Spirit's here. I feel the Holy Spirit's here. God wants you to have a different spirit. Amen? A different spirit. Not a spirit that judges. Not a spirit that's legalistic. Not a spirit that just camps in just one biblical truth and we forget the rest. Not a spirit that's so graceful that we can't call sin, sin. A different spirit. Oh, it's very quiet in here. I feel the Holy Spirit's here. And I know as I'm preaching, God's speaking to us corporately as a church, that we may be those kind of people whose heart is set on pilgrimage. We're not just so attached to this world that we're not thinking about eternity and everything we do here matters for eternity. Amen? I watch some people on social media, and I've got to be honest with you, sometimes I just don't like what I see of Christian pastors. And they're putting out on Instagram, being in a nightclub with some celebrity. And I'm thinking to myself, who's converting who? Are you hearing me? Who's converting who? We're called to have a different spirit. We're called to be different. Amen? I want to pray for people. Maybe in your marriage. Could your marriage be better? Could it be different? It can with a different spirit. Amen? Could your health be different? It can with a different spirit. Could your financial situation be different? Well, if you're just thinking temporal, you'll never think about eternal. And the way in which you build up financial security here on this earth is to making sure your finances are resourcing eternal matters. Come on, somebody. Could you be better in your job? Could life be different? I'm going to tell you, it came with a different spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. The race is not to the swift. The battle is not to the strong. Time and chance happen to us all. And I want to pray for people here today. And you say, Steve, I don't know Jesus as you speak of. Steve, I'm not yet a Christian. Steve, I once prayed a prayer and I was different, but I've gone back and I've lost my love for God. I want to pray for you today. You going to believe with me, church? Come on, you going to believe with me, church? Come on, a different spirit. A different spirit. I believe the Holy Spirit's, man, I sense God here. I really do. I mean, don't blow smoke, but how many honestly, right here, feel the presence of the Holy Spirit right now. And He's moving through this auditorium. Life can be better. Life can be different. Amen. With a different spirit. If you don't know Jesus, I want to pray for you. I'm not going to ask you to stand to your feet. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. But I want you right where you're seated. If you say, Steve, I want to know God as you speak of. What convinced me that I needed a Savior was the inescapable evidence of my friend's life that was so different. Because we've known each other. We grew up together. It was different. And I found myself saying, God, I want what He has. Can I pray for you today? If you've never given your life to Jesus, if you prayed a prayer, but you know you're not walking for God like you once were, could I pray for you? I'm going to ask you to do one simple thing. In a moment, we're going to pray. We're going to bow our heads in prayer. And when we do that, if you say, Steve, you're talking to me, it's almost as if you're like God's, it's only you in this room because God's so speaking to you. You hearing me? And you say, Steve, I want to know that Jesus. I want to get right with Him. I want to come back to Him. I'm going to ask you to lift your hand high enough and long enough for me to see it. And by doing that, I'll know today that you want to connect with Jesus. Church, are you going to believe with me? People are going to meet Jesus. Come on, let's close our eyes. Let's bow our heads. And friend, if that is you, I don't want you to hesitate. If God is reaching out to you, you want to have that different spirit. You want to get right with God. You want to come back to Jesus. Lift your hand right now, all over the building. God bless you. 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 Who else? Hear me. Come on, lift your hand. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Come on, who else? God bless you. Wonderful. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Who else? As I look around this auditorium, God bless you right there. Amen. Anybody else? Lift your hand. God bless you. God bless you. Oh, what a great response. God bless you. 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 Anybody else, if you haven't lifted your hand, but you know you should. Come on, that's it. Thank you, sir. I see that hand. Church, can we give the Lord a hand for every single person? Amen. We will never convince the world of the need of a Savior if we look like and act like the world. Amen. It's the very fact that Jesus is in your life. You don't live according to the custom of the world, but you live according to the custom of the kingdom of God. I'm looking for my Bible. Praise. They took my Bible. That's awesome. I was going to hold it up. Church, can we all pray this prayer? Everybody say, Lord Jesus, I ask you today to come into my life, to make me different, to translate me from darkness to light, from a sinner to a saint. Lord, I thank you right now. I make this decision. You now live in my life. I am different because you now live in me. In Jesus' name, come on, give the Lord a hand if you receive it. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this message by Pastor Steve Kelly. You can find more resources by Pastor Steve at stevekelly.tv and wavechurch.com.